This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
The Record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. You know, I was in Florida I was in Florida from last week and then decided I was going to leave on Sunday. I was there with my son. And, but, you know, I wasn't quite sure I wanted just yet to leave because he was on break, but he was eager to come home. And so anyways, we tried to keep our timeline to return. Got to the airport on Sunday, was really tight. Got to the back and Bahamas, they left me. They left us. We were left on Sunday. So we had to make arrangements to return later. So I was toying with the idea of coming back either Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. And, you know, but my son was really, he really was eager to come home. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. The young man, he's in Florida, but he wants to come home. So no problem. We decided to leave on Tuesday. Boy, was that a good idea. Y'all seen what's been happening in Florida over the last day or so with all that flooding in Fort Lauderdale? That's amazing. The significant flooding. Closed down the airport there until Friday. Listen, man, okay, let's not have a debate about climate change. Let's not. Let's just have a debate about change. Something is happening, right? That this is just so weird. You know, just really weird, right? I mean, just flooded the airport in Fort Lauderdale. And you know, those of us who like to come down on the Bahamas when things happen, we can't get nothing right. We can't do this right. That's Fort Lauderdale, United States. I mean, these weather patterns and these weather events, you know, when they decide to do what they decide to do for whatever reason they decide to do it, let me tell you something. I don't care how sophisticated you are. Don't make no difference what modern implements you have. These things just take over. And so even if you don't believe in God, if you believe in just the forces of nature, be aware that those forces are immensely more powerful than we could ever imagine. And that we seem helpless in the face of them when they decide to go a certain direction. It was just amazing to see, you know, just really something. Anyway, so, but that's not what I want to talk to you about today. I'm reading the Nassau Guardian, and I'm reading the Nassau Guardian story about RCI's It's Royal Caribbean International's project on Paradise Island. Of course, you know, the government recently announced that that project was approved, even though it's still awaiting environmental assessments, and I understand maybe some other things. But the government said it's approved. The prime minister said he expected ground to be broken immediately on the matter. And then the Minister of Education, the now acting Prime Minister, indicated, as the Honorable Glenys Anna Martin, that she was not in support of the project, which many thought was actually a breach in that protocol that exists between cabinet ministers in terms of collective responsibility. But the Prime Minister said there was no breach, and after all, she serves at the pleasure of the Prime Minister, and as long as he enjoys the pleasure of her service, no problem. Problem at all. But then Atlantis weighed in. The CEO of Atlantis weighed in on the matter and expressed concerns about the fact that, one, the government had given the go-ahead, and that in fact she, Audrey Oswell, president and managing director of Atlantis Resort, indicated that the government should hold the brakes on the project and await the environmental assessments and economic impact assessment and those kinds of things. And now we have the president of RCI, the CEO, weighing in and saying we can coexist with Atlantis and we can address whatever environmental issues exist, so forth and so forth. So I'm reading all of this. And actually, to be honest with you, I got confused. I did. I really got confused. I have questions. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, like, what exactly is the concern all around? Is it economic? For instance, for Atlantis, is it a fear that project is going to cannibalize them? Is it environmental? Is it that they believe that this project is going to pose such environmental risk to their surrounding environment? I am confused, and I'll tell you why I'm confused. So I'm looking at some statistics about Paradise Island, right? And Paradise Island in 2016, I could not find any data for 2023, but my suspicion is that the data isn't significantly off in 2016 because none of us have known of any significant increase or decrease in hotel infrastructure on Paradise Island from 2016. If you know of something, please tell me, but I do not. In 2016, Paradise Island had 15 hotels. That accounted for 4,844 rooms. So typically, if the hotels on Paradise Island were operating at 100% capacity throughout the year, they could accommodate about 1.8 million room nights, right? If every room was occupied and what have you. Now, let's say every room was occupied with one person, just one person. That would mean 1.8 million persons on Paradise Island every day of the year. Okay, so 1.7 million persons. That's just the people staying in the hotels on Paradise Island. Now, in 2019, New Providence received by air, some 1,303,711 visitors. That's by air. New Providence, foreign arrivals. That's not me and you coming home. Who are Bahamians? That's a foreign air arrivals. 1,303,711. Okay, presumably any number of them stayed on Paradise Island. Okay. Now, by sea, the number of foreign arrivals was 2,890,065. This was 2019. This was a peak year because, you know, 2020, we're trying to recover from the pandemic. So 2019 is the mark. Okay. We're back now at those numbers, I understand. Okay. So here's my dilemma in this discussion that's happening now. All of a sudden, RCI has a project approved on Paradise Island that promises to bring in, I think I heard an additional 1,500,000 maybe people to the to New Providence through Paradise Island. All right. And the kind of activities that they are going to be engaged in are water sports, entertainment tours, and these kinds of things, right? These are standard things that are done in our tourism product. So this is my question. What exactly is the concern that both RCI, both Atlantis and environmental people would have about the RCI project that they do not now have about the fact that we have almost 1.7 million tourists coming to the Bahamas, engaging in many of them, all of these kinds of things on the beaches of New Providence that can also impact the health of those beaches, those waters. I mean, the millions that come now, do they not do water sports? Do they not do entertainment? Do they not go to restaurants and stuff like that? What is it that the millions who have come to the Bahamas, who we have been trying to get more to come to the Bahamas, who have been going to Atlantis and other places on our beaches, doing these kinds of activities, what is it, environmentally speaking, that RCI poses that those things did not pose to begin with and we were not concerned, or we didn't seem to share the same level of concern about it? What was it? I am not sure. And I'm serious. I'm trying to understand it. If anybody who's out there represent Atlantis, represent RCI, represent anybody else, I'm not engaged by RCI. I've not spoken to RCI's people. I don't know anything other than what I read. What I'm trying to understand is, what is the concern? RCI brings their additional thousands and thousands and thousands to go on Paradise Island. Forget RCI for the moment. Let's suppose Paradise Island exploded in terms of additional rooms and additional accommodations. Wouldn't millions of people be on Paradise Island being entertained? Wouldn't millions of people be on Paradise Island going on the beaches and doing the things that RCI would be doing? Aren't there hundreds of yachts that come into Atlantis' harbor all the time and they traverse our waters all the time? What is it that RCI does, is going to do, that is so much more, so much different? Is it that they're going to bring a concentrated number of persons? Well, we have millions of tourists coming to this country now. And like, what are we doing to manage the waste activity of those tourists that could impact our environment today? What is it that we're doing? Because if we're doing that, and given that we were trying to get more tourists, well, doesn't it stand to reason that if a new entity comes in, we have to do the same kind of management we have been doing for the millions of tourists that we've been inviting and accommodating for years now? The other thing is, what if this wasn't RCI? What if Bahamians were doing this? What if this project was a Bahamian project alone? Would the narrative be the environmental concern expressed, say, by Atlantics? Would that still be true if this were a 100% Bahamian project? Would there still be a concern that it would be bringing in hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of tourists, putting them on beaches with sporting equipment or whatever? Would that still be like what I'm trying to figure out? What really is the kind? Is it economic? Is it impact? Is it a combination? And why? Why? I mean, environmental concerns ought to exist when any project is being done. That's we have the concern when we're building our basic homes in the Bahamas. Basic homes. You build a home in Grand Bahama, you have to pay attention to what you do with the trees, whether you have fruit trees, vegetable. You got to pay attention to those kinds of things, whether you are building in a flood zone. So you have to pay attention to these things. Now, that's just small-scale domestic environmental concern. On the commercial level, there's always the need to be concerned about whether anything is impacting the environment. That's why RCI's thing does have an environmental impact assessment. And I do agree with the president of Atlantis that announcements about approvals of RCI were premature, given that the environmental assessment had not been done. I agree with her 100% on that. I agree with her that a prime minister indicating that groundbreaking would take place immediately, notwithstanding there was an environmental assessment pending for a project. I agree with her. That's premature. I do agree with that. But what I'm trying to understand is what exactly is our concern? Let me back up. In 2019, we reach record-breaking levels of tourists. 7+ million. Record-breaking. Is there any one of you who believes that the government of the Bahamas wanted to stop at 7+ million? Or did you think the government of the Bahamas wanted to go there and get 8 million, 9 million, 10 million, 12 million, so forth, right? They spend whatever money they spend, but the government has been saying we need them to spend more. We need to do things to get them to spend more. Well, doesn't getting them to spend more mean more activities, mean more on-the-ground things, and doesn't that mean more waste, more environmental impact, et cetera? But that's what we want. We want more tourists. So how could we want more tourists, have an entity that purports to bring us more tourists, doing more of the same kinds of things we are doing now and would want our tourists to do later, except some of us want that stuff to be done owned by Bahamians, and now have a complaint that this needs to be looked at like I don't understand. I also don't understand. Is a company asking the government if the concern is economic? Is the company asking the government to consider whether more competition to itself should be entered into the market? Is that the concern? Because that was the same question raised when Bahama was being developed. Could Bahama and Atlantis coexist? I know the argument intimately because I was Minister of State for Finance at the time when the argument was being raised. Would Bahama cannibalize Atlantis? Of course, you would want to be concerned if you're the government that a thing could undo something that is immensely more economically impactful than the thing you're improving, right? So would I sacrifice a $5,000 job employer for a $250 job employer? Hell no. I wouldn't do that. But it is a bit of a stretch to argue whether those two things can coexist, though. That, like, really economically speaking, like, what is the metric to suggest that tourists being brought on a cruise ship going to an island destination represents the same options that would have maybe gone to an Atlantis venue. Atlantis, for instance, is a unique product, just as it is unique from Bahama, which is now trying to create some more amenities similar to Atlantis. It is the argument, don't subject us to that competition. I don't know. It's not clear to me what the exact argument. I hear the words environmental being put out there. I hear the words economic impact being put out there. But it is not clear to me, given the current state of play in the Bahamas when it comes to tourism, I do not understand. Maybe you do. Maybe you can help me. I'm happy to hear from you. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. We'll be back after this break.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Bolang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. We're talking about RCI versus Atlantis, the Paradise Island project that's slated by RCI. Somebody's reminding me, don't forget the toll-free number. I don't have it in front of me, so if somebody could send me that toll-free number, yes, in the Family Islands, you can call in toll-free now, which is wonderful. Welcome to Z Live. I'm Shabar Gulain, your host. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Our toll-free line, for those of you calling in from the Family Islands, is 242-300-5720. So anywhere in the Bahamas, outside of New Providence, you want to call 242-300-5720. Okay? So that's our new toll-free line, folks. So now we got you covered in the Family Islands. We got you covered. Do you understand my query, my dilemma, my confusion, or the question that I'm raising about why it is both environmentalist as well as as well as Atlantis, are particularly concerned about this RCI development. Is it that the cruise ships are going to park over there? Is that what's going to happen? Because they park now at the wharf, right? And the wharf is not far from Paradise Island. Whatever environmental issues could arise from the wharf. What is it exactly? Is it the numbers of persons? Well, you know, we've got millions of people who descend on Paradise Island from year to year. I'm just trying to understand specifically what the concern is. Let me tell you something. Right? And let's be clear. Everybody on planet Earth has interests peculiar to themselves. That's not evil. That's not wicked. That's just a fact of life. Atlantis has its economic interest. It must. It is a for-profit company that has responsibilities to its shareholders, employees, and other stakeholders, its clients. RCI has its interests to its shareholders, employees, and other stakeholders. The Bahamas has its interests. Environmentalists have their interest. Whether that is purely to save the planet, keep it safe, or it's some other particular set of things that they may be pursuing. Everyone has their interest. When they speak publicly, they are speaking to a population attempting to get buy-in for their argument in support of their interest. Let's be sure of that. Everyone who speaks to make a case, to tell a story that will grab your attention, hopefully persuade you to buy into that story, and in buying into that story, perhaps express some level of influence on those who make decisions, so that in the end, a decision is made that is supportive of their interest. That's not evil. That's not wicked. That's a fact of human life and existence. We all have our particular interests. We all have our particular preferences, biases, and so forth. But in the realm of public policy, you strive for objectivity. I didn't say you always achieve it, but you strive for objectivity. You want to be able to look at an interest and say, okay, you know, that interest, I could see that's their selfish interest, but it actually is an interest that supports my interest too, or the country's interest. And so, okay, I buy into that. If that's what you call a win-win. You get your interest pursued in advance. I get my interest pursued in advance together. We win. But you also look for, wait a minute now. That interest there, if that gets pursued, is against that interest there, but that interest there that's it's against, if it gets pursued, it's consistent with my interest. And so I have to be careful listening to arguments that support somebody's interest that is against an interest that might be in support of my interest. meaning the country's interest, not my personal individual interest. That's what public policy is concerned with, the country's interest, the national interest, the broad population interest. And so that's why it's necessary to have clarity. We can't just take arguments. We can't just take words. We can't just take pronouncements and just go and say, that's fine. Okay? This country has been in the tourism business for decades. For decades. Having cruise ships come for decades, in the millions and the millions. Having airplanes come in the millions and the millions. And I have seldom in my lifetime heard of private companies expressing environmental concerns in relation to other private companies in their business. I've seldom observed that. I didn't say it never happened. I've seldom observed it. So I have to find clarity in terms of what is this? What exactly is the concern? You see, we have been talking, well, not broadly, not popularly, but there have been discussions around the notion of sustainable tourism for years now. Sustainable tourism that speaks against having mega resorts such as we have in the Bahamas, that advocate for more modest, eco-friendly boutique resorts. That's been the argument put forth by environmentalists about the tourism product in the Bahamas. So if the environmentalists of that nature had their way, you wouldn't have mega resorts like, say, a Bahama or an Atlantis or those. They would try to avoid those going forward in the future. They want boutique stuff. Well, RCI isn't proposing a mega resort. RCI is proposing a $100 million beach experience of a sort, something that's replicated in other keys around the country. And the project, I mean, honestly, is a modest one, $100 million. It's sizable, you know, for me and you, but it's a modest project, modest, right? The question I'm asking is, and please weigh in. You want me to hear from you? You're quiet. You're resting. Do you see and understand what I'm pointing out? Are you clear yourself on what the issue is, what the concern is? Anybody out there? You're listening. You're clear on what the complaint is or the concern is by RCI. I mean, by Anatis, are you clear on what RCI is saying in defense of the concerns expressed by Anatis? What do you understand? Please help me. Tell me what you understand. This text says, Mr. Lyon, I read that Atlantis had plans to build high-end townhouses on that side of the island. And they feel that RCI's plan would be a distraction with the noise and pollution. Okay, that didn't come through anything I read from what was said by Atlantis's president. But if in fact that is so, okay. So they have a concern that the RCI project would not be consistent with their high-end townhouse project. Okay, so, all right. This text says, Atlantis and Toby Smith, real concern is competition. Atlantis makes a lot of money from cruise passenger tours. A lot of those persons end up going back and staying with them. I see. So it's an economic issue. So now the folks don't have to go to Atlantis per se. They go right to their beachfront thing. I don't know about that. One time when I was doing, doing some studies about travel and the fact that we compete with other jurisdictions for tourism, somebody, an expert in the tourism field told me that really, that's a very simplistic way people view things, because the truth of the matter is, people don't say, I'm going to the Bahamas and never going to Cuba. Oh, this was when the question of Cuba opening up was coming about. You remember years ago, everybody, oh, when Cuba opens up, the Bahamas is going to be finished, blah, 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 blah. You remember that? And so the expert told me, no, people don't do that. He says, think about yourself. You don't decide, okay, I'm going to go to Florida, but never go to New York, as if Florida is your only option. What they say is people travel to destinations. They go to Bahamas, they go to Cuba, they go to Jamaica, then they might decide to go back to Bahamas and so forth. And so they say it's all a question of what you have to offer and whether what you have to offer can be a new experience for them a next time around or separate and apart from the place where they have been. And I totally buy into that. So Atlantis to me is one of the most unique products I have ever seen anywhere in the world. I've traveled and I've been to more than 41 countries and territories around the world. And Atlantis is unique. I took my children to Atlantis practically every other weekend. We were in New Providence when we lived in New Providence, right? Every other weekend I'd been there. We'd seen the same fish swimming up and down. But we went. We ended the day over and repeatedly. So I don't see Atlantis being outshone by any other product to the extent that nobody wants to go there. Unless they let that product deteriorate, not renew it and revive it. I don't see that. This text says possibly sustainability concerns regarding a strong enough infrastructure. Okay, let's say I take that's true. Well, when did that concern become our concern? Because as I indicated, we have been having millions of tourists come to the Bahamas. We've been trying to get millions more to come to the Bahamas. We've been trying to get them to Paradise Island. You know, remember, there's Paradise Island, Nassau, the promotion board. They promote Nassau and Paradise Island. So we've been trying to get millions more tourists to both. So when did infrastructure become an issue? Why would we not be addressing those issues as a part of an environmental impact assessment, all these things? So again, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Outside of the legitimate observation and complaint that the government announcing the approval of the RCI project without an approved environmental assessment, I do not yet have clarity on what the genuine concern is. I don't have it from Atlantis. I don't have it from RCI. And I do not have that from the environmentalists. I'm sorry. I've listened to y'all. I've been hearing y'all talk. I do not get it. I don't get it. Against the backdrop of this country as a tourism mecca, with millions of tourists coming in and with the effort to get millions of more to come in, I do not get it. So maybe all I need is more clarity. That's all I'm saying. Don't get it. Says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. I still don't get it. How is Atlantis considered a small business? Atlantis isn't considered a small business. Who said that Atlantis is considered a small business? No one that I know. Unless you're talking about in the context of Amazon or Walmart or something. It says Atlantis has discontinued offering day passes to ship passengers due to overcrowding. Okay. All right. So that's what somebody says. I don't know that to be true. But if that's the case, then there is need for additional amenities to accommodate these visitors in terms of their options then, right? Again, nobody, please do not walk away believing I support the RCI project. Firstly, I don't know what the RCI project is in detail because I've never seen the memorandum of understanding of agreement, heads of agreement. I've never seen the detail, the proposals of it. I don't know. Secondly, I don't know what the condition is in terms of the environment impact assessment. I do not know what that is because none has been agreed yet. I don't know if even one has been presented yet. I don't know anything about it. I don't know altogether the environmental impact assessment. The Minister of Tourism, when he made this announcement, provided no detailed statement that I'm aware of. I could be totally wrong, may have missed it. but I know of only what I read in the newspapers. So I don't agree with or disagree with RCI's proposal at all. What I do know is on the face of it, the arguments of back and forth that I am hearing does not give me much clarity about what the real concern is. If it's environmental, I don't get that. I don't get that for a country inviting millions of people in and trying to get millions of people more to come in. I don't get that. To be on their beaches, to be eating in their restaurants, et cetera, all of which will produce waste and an impact on the environment. I don't get it. Secondly, if it's economic, I don't get it. We are a free enterprise society which believes in competition. Since when are we in the business of deciding, I'm going to protect your business from competition? Would you do that for a Bahamian business? Well, yeah, you do it for Bahamian business in hotel and retail space, and you don't do it very well. Biggest wholesaler in the Bahamas is a foreign company, Cisco. Biggest wholesaler. Retailers in the Bahamas are all on Bay Street, foreigners. Right? So we don't do it very well. So is it competition? If this were Bahamians, if RCI were Bahamians, would the arguments still be the same? Would we still be making this case the same way? I don't know. Say something happened, I think it was after the pandemic, and Atlantis were saying that they were a small business. It was on this radio station. Really? Okay. I don't know, bro. I never heard that. You know, I just missed some stuff. So we'll see. I maybe somebody can give me some clarity. Maybe somebody will after the news break. But I don't get it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this news break.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Willang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. We have been talking about analysis concern about RCI. I've been talking about my lack of clarity about just what that concern is. None of you have, but some of you have provided some plausible explanations for those concerns, but they seem to be to reflect very narrow interest on the part of, say, Atlantis. And so I know further in terms of my understanding of what exactly the concern is. Royal Caribbean says that 60% of guests won't visit PI. So they're saying only 40% of their guests are going to visit PI. Is that true? That's their estimate. How do they know? How can you tell? If you create something that's so fantastic, how do you know 70, 80% of people won't come off? How do you know that? I guess you use your statistics, your former statistics, and you say, based on that, we don't think that 60% of them will come off. So if 60% of them don't come off, only 40% of them come off, what does that cure for Atlantis? What does that cure for the environmentalist? How does that satisfy them? It depends on what their concern is, right? Could 40% of the people produce the same level of concern as 60% or more of those people? Who knows? What's the concern? I don't know. It's not clear. Maybe you're an environmentalist and you're sitting out there and you're listening and you say, well, let me help you understand what our concern is and help me appreciate where this concern is expressed elsewhere in the country too, so we can get some balance. I don't know. I don't understand it. See, I'm not suggesting this happens, but let me tell you what I do know. When people are in pursuit of their interest, they try to engage, rope in as many people as possible to help support that cause. Atlantis's folk were telling their employees, listen, man, you know, y'all need to get on board and agitate for this. The president of the hotel union says, y'all take the lead. We may follow, right? So like I said, people try to get support for their cause. There's nothing evil, wicked, or anything about that. It's your interest. You want to see something done about it. You do what you have to do. We, as the Bahamian public, who may not be employees of Atlantis, who may not be environmentalists, who may not be involved with RCI, we are really the audience that all of this singing is then being done for. And so the only way we can weigh in properly is by understanding what the issues are in total. Right? So that's why we raised the questions. This text says, because they can't be putting pressure on the middle class and the poor, but giving the super rich a lie or a pass. Well, I guess that's the end of that. You're not hearing much from y'all, so you must not have the same clarity. You must have the same lack of clarity I have. And so we'll leave it there. Let me turn my attention for the moment to some economics. Somebody's just raising a question. Say, good day, Mr. Lang. You think it would be more advantageous if Atlantis said it affects our business on XYZ way as opposed to trying to make it a national issue through environmental issues are an issue? You know, that's a very good question. Well, I think that some people might applaud them for their honor. Well, some people might applaud them for, if that is true, for the directness, right? They might. But I don't know that they might get the same level of sympathy. That's the problem. I don't know. I don't think they would get the same level of sympathy. The environmental issue cuts across socioeconomic classes and that kind of stuff. So when you invoke that, you can get more people to lean in, even though, you know, you can get more people to lean in because it's environmental, and so it doesn't seem selfish, it doesn't seem self-serving, it kind of creates this existential threat to everybody. And so it's always a good calling card to use environmental issues as your thing, to rope that in ahead of your personal financial interest. So I think it's a good strategic move to do it that way. Even if the economic issue concern is more the issue. I mean, I want you to think about this, right? I want you to think about this. I mean, listen to me, folks. A company in the Bahamas, Atlantis, urged the government of the Bahamas, which is seeking employment opportunities for citizens, economic opportunities for its businesses, and so on, urge that government push the brakes on this thing. Can you imagine that? Listen to me. To go that step, that company must be really concerned. They have to be. Listen to me. When was the last time you heard a company tell the government, listen, slow your roll? When was the last time you heard a company say that? I've heard Bahamian companies say that in relation to foreign companies. Remember, I've heard that. But a foreign company saying to the government, you just approved a project and I want you to pull back? Extraordinary. Extraordinary. This text says, Atlantis' concern is that they will lose some of the cruise ship passengers that come to their property to enjoy the amenities. In their estimation, the loss will be significant enough to impact their profits, forcing them to sound the alarm. Now, I don't know if it's exactly that, but the point about profits, that has to be real. To go to the extraordinary extent of saying to your employees, sound the alarm, saying to the government, slow your roll. Boy, that is some extraordinary piece of work. Listen, how often in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas have you heard words from the CEO of Atlantis? The CEO of Bahama, the CEO of RCI, you don't hear from them? We do not ordinarily, when they're doing good things or bad things, we don't ordinarily hear from them. We don't. But this isn't about some disaster. This isn't about some infrastructural challenge. This is a company has been approved by the government of the Bahamas to do something, and y'all need to slow your roll. incredible. So this text says, how will it benefit we as Bahamians when a Bahamian does not own it? Well, Bahamians owning something, not owning something doesn't cause you not to benefit. Okay, so I mean, this is relatively simple. Atlantis is not owned by Bahamians. Bahamians are in upper management at Atlantis, so you get that benefit. Thousands of Bahamians feed their families, pay their bills by their employment at Atlantis. Hundreds of taxi drivers and tour operators make their monies doing that. Atlantis buys stuff from all kinds of vendors in the Bahamas, including what RCI would do. So ownership doesn't, you don't have to own something to benefit from it, okay? Do you own the job you're on? And if, you know, I mean, you might be an owner, but typically, you know, not many people don't own the jobs they're on, but they benefit from it. And the only reason why they're there is because they benefit from it, right? So that's not an argument. Say RCI pollutes our waters and gained millions to America and done nothing for us as Bahamians, and many that was a Bahamian project, why is it still not? RCI pollutes your water. That you are sure of, 100% sure of, right? Says Pamela Musgrove pointed this out some time ago on the Morning Rock program, almost 5 years ago now. As cruise ship industry is giving us diminishing returns year after year. She said, don't mind the increasing numbers of returns of the Bahamas are decreasing. Of course, it's an economic issue. If I give my plan to the government and while waiting for a response of millions of dollars, the organization announces that they have received approval from government to start a business on the same spot I plan to, clearly my plans are going to be affected. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang, the director of the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection says she hasn't received anything on an EIA or EMP a week or two ago. It was on the news. Okay, there you go. Right? So they don't have anything in their hands yet about the environmental impact. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon. Good evening, Mr. Lang.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Everything's wonderful. Lang, when I first heard about the RCI project, my mind ran on Atlantis, without Atlantis coming out and stating their concerns. It was long before that, because I said to myself, now, how is this going to impact Atlantis? Because when you go out to Atlantis, right, they rely heavily on the cruise ship passenger to visit their properties. And now that chunk of business will be now directed to RCI Private Island. So, and like you stated, the first time I've heard an investor lobby the government to talk a project in the Bahamas, and the same impact studies that we are talking about, we had that same concern with Atlantis at the time when they first came into the Bahamas. There was a dead blow for Carl Rowe. Remember Carl Rowe when Atlantis first came here? Atlantis did them in. they went belly up. And then now Atlantis is here. And then when Bahama came around, a big chunk of business that was directed to Atlantis now went to Bahama. And now, like I said, RCI now is in the picture. Those customers that would have visited Atlantis, they will now visit RCI Private Island because...
Let me ask you a question. You've been to Atlantis before, right?
Yes. Many times.
You have an idea of these kinds of islands these cruise ships produce, right?
Right.
Would you go to those cruise ship islands and never go to Atlantis, knowing what you know about Atlantis?
Well, I'll try visit all.
Exactly. There might be some people who can't and who can't afford to or won't go to both. But I think that just like, you know, remember, because you pointed out this too. Remember, the concern was raised about Bahama cannibalizing Atlantis. Remember that?
Right. Yeah, there are same concerns that Atlantis have
are both of them still there? Now maybe Atlantis took a hit. I don't know.
Right, but they're still existing today. And I mean, if I'm a cruise ship passenger coming to the Bahamas for the first time, and I saw those two big projects like that, I would want to visit both of them to get that experience.
Yeah, that's my thinking. But again, you see, do you understand what I'm raising in terms of not having clarity about what the real concern is, right?
I really think the real concern is the economic concern for Atlantis. That's why they told their employees to really rally behind this project to get the government to listen to them. So, it's obvious it's economic. It's nothing to do with environment, because we had the same environment concern with Atlantis. And they had got the green light to proceed, and how they exist today. So,
do you think the government of the Bahamas is trying to get millions of more people to come to the Bahamas?
Definitely. Everybody should be happy that we're trying to get millions of people to come to the Bahamas. And like one caller said that Bahamians won't benefit because it's not Bahamian-owned. I think if Bahamian-owned Atlantis would be having the same result, there wouldn't be anything different. I think it would be that a Bahamian-owned Atlantis, the same workers would have been there. Ain't nothing different.
Atlantis,
but the same thing, it wouldn't be like every Bahamian would have had a stake in Atlantis in terms of shares or whatever. No, that wouldn't be the case, because we have Bahamians who own industries and projects all over the Bahamas, and I don't see Bahamians, the vast majority of Bahamians, having any stake or any shares or whatever in it, so it's the same thing.
And while we at it, right? I mean, like, seriously, though, like, what is stopping a Bahamian from producing an Atlantis if that's what they want to do? What stops them from doing that?
I think it's fair. Fear of failure.
Exactly, right?
Stop a Bahamian from advancing whatever in the Bahamas, because, I mean, I think we have first privilege to do whatever we want to do. And then
absolutely.
Coming up with an idea and finding investors, and we can go and do whatever. Because, I mean, I think we have more privilege than those who come in.
Take advantage
of the hotel Encouragement Act. Bahamians can take advantage of that also.
Industries Encouragement Act or anything else. And so when I hear us complaining about ownership, I do agree. I have observed this, that there are areas of this economy where when a Bahamian goes into it, the way they are looked at is a bit differently than when a foreigner does it, because you tend to seem to have to jump over a little bit more hurdles.
Right.
You know, but I think that can be solved sometimes with better strategic alignment of personalities.
But I think Bahamians, if they really put their minds together and they say, look, I want to build an Atlantis or whatever, and they put their minds together, I don't think anyone can stop them.
No, there's no one. And the only thing you have to convince the government of is if you have the money. And we've got Bahamians now participating in these multi-million-dollar tens and $250 million projects right now today. We have Bahamians who organize the funding around those projects.
I think Bahamians can seek funding if they go and try really put their minds together and say, let's go and seek funding for this project or whatever. They could partnership with other people and come in and put them probably in the forefront. I don't know. Bahamians could do anything they put their minds to. Because, I mean,
if you put your mind to it, if you're prepared to do the work, and if you're prepared to take the risk.
I think that's the first thing in business is you have to be willing to take the risk.
Absolutely.
A lot of people, they don't want to take that risk with that amount of money. So they feel like, hey, a foreigner could come in with that type of money. They're taking risk in the Bahamas, and they're successful. I mean, we live here, and we watch people come and become millionaires overnight. And I mean, people buying Airbnb all over this country. People buying, and we just don't want to take the risk to do those type of stuff. I mean, wow.
You have never
been to that country before, and you drop all that, you put your investment in a country that you never lived in, you just heard of, and you became millionaire overnight. Wow.
But here's the thing, right? There's the Bahamian who has the money, who's not interested in taking that risk. They may take some other risk, but they're not interested in taking that risk. So there's the Bahamians who have the money, and then there's lots of Bahamians who have no money to take no risk.
I think Bahamians, like, with money, they like safe risk. They probably build a big mall or probably build a...
Rental places and stuff like that.
Yes, they safe risk. But when you're talking about tourism and up and down and all those stuff like that, you can take sharks and stuff like that, I don't think Bahamians, they really will put their money in those.
When you're talking about businesses where you have to go out there and get the customer, see, this isn't a question of build it and they shall come. You got to go out there and get them millions of people to come to that hotel.
Right.
That ain't easy. A lot of times when I do business plans for Bahamians, the biggest challenge I have is their ability to define their market and their market strategy.
Right.
Because everything hinges on that. If I gave you a block of 1 million customers right now, my brother, you'd be a millionaire in a couple of years.
That's true. And another thing,
if I gave you a block, just gave a block to you, I say, listen, these are your customers, they are going to buy your product. You straight. But life don't work like that, right?
You have to understand that government is not going to help you straight through 100%.
No, but the government can't get the market for you. The government can't, because government can help you promote, but the government can't get the market for you. That person who is in Pennsylvania thinking about where to take vacation, the government can't help you get them other than have some broad advertisement saying the Bahamas is a great place to come. You can get them to your hotel.
Right. So those type of investment, Bahamians, I don't know, Bahamians don't like those type of investments. They like safe investments.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks a lot. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break now, pay our respects to our great sponsors. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity. It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764.
Sweet and heat, meet Burger King Nassau. Introducing the new Mango Habanero King that features a signature mango habanero sauce, two flame grilled beef patties, two slices of cheese, bacon, and spicy jalapenos, all on a toasted sesame seed bun. Enjoy the Mango Habanero King in a combo or ask for the plant-based version. Either way, this sandwich offers just enough sweet to bring on the heat. The new Mango Habanero King from Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, it is this economy of ours. And when I say this economy of ours, what do I mean? I mean, collectively, all the things that are done to produce products and services in the country, to distribute products and services in the country and to consume products and services in the country. All the things, the activities around those three things, production, distribution, and consumption, that generates income so that we as a population can have the resources in a capitalist society, a commoditized community, to buy the things we need and this economy of ours is fragile in many ways, but in many ways it has been sturdy enough to afford us a quality of life that cannot be enjoyed by maybe two-thirds of the world's population. Did you hear me? Whatever you think of this economy, dominated as it is by tourism, financial services, it has, over the course of 50 plus years, generated levels of income for most people who call this place home, such that, materially speaking, we live a higher quality of life than is enjoyed by two-thirds or more of the world's population. In the Americas alone, there are probably only two countries that enjoy a higher material existence than the Bahamas, Bahamians. That's the United States and Canada. That does not mean in other countries there aren't people who live an entirely better lifestyle than you on average. But on average, Bahamians, in terms of their quality of life, in terms of their per capita income, live a better life than most of the 34 countries in the Americas. That's because of your economy. But this economy is fragile, and it's thin. Fragile because it depends on things outside of your control, right? Things happening outside in the world can very easily disrupt your economy. Thankfully, those things don't happen a lot, but they do happen. The Gulf War, September 11th, 2001, the financial crisis of 2007-2008, the pandemic, all reflect the volatility or the fragility of this economy. But it's been sturdy, though, because notwithstanding those things, we have more often than not, enjoyed a stable, relatively comfortable standard of living. Not all of us, but most of us, to enjoy a material standard of living, where we live, how we dress, how we eat, as reflected by how much fat we have on us, all reflect the material existence that we have. There is no accident why others came here to pursue or increase or enhance their fortunes. There's no accident to that. And in doing so, help to enhance, increase our fortunes. But there's no accident that many from around the world continue to come here to look to increase, to enhance their fortunes. Complaining about that does nothing to help us. Being angry about that does nothing to help us. But what is required is a bit more observation and understanding on our part as to how we can see those same possibilities for ourselves in our country. Now, let me explain something to you. There are foreigners who certainly have, we have some calls online. I can get back to that. Let me get to calls. Go ahead, caller, we'll listen to you.
Hello, Mr. Lang.
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Yeah, peace. Mr. Lang, peace, how you, I respect your meaning, but I don't want to starve at this topic. You know, but
I'm glad you have a chance to speak. Go ahead.
I listen to your show daily, sir. And let me just give you flowers right up front. And that's because I see you as one of our intelligentsia. And, sir, I like the confidence that you normally present with.
Now, thank you, man.
I'm laughing at you, sir, because I say, where is the line coming from today? You know, I almost want to say, now, Mr. Lang, I think you're presenting me with a rhetorical question. Even though you say you don't really understand, listening to you.
Why are you questioning my authenticity?
But listen, okay, Mr. Lang, I'm a cab driver, right? I'm mixed right up in this, and I hope I can, you know, help today. Mr. Lang, you know what 40% of 100 means. If anybody knows that, you know that. Okay? And Mr. Lang, I was listening to Guardian today with Mr. Grant, and a gentleman came on, and man, I was so proud of that gentleman. He said they have come to rebrand our tourism. Man, Mr. Lang, to me, that's so powerful. I agree with him.
Who said this? Who's come to rebrand our tourism? Huh?
A caller called in and said that.
You keep going in and out. Who said it?
A caller called into the show and said they come to rebrand our tourism.
Okay.
And so, man, that's so powerful to me. And I want you, sir, to think about that. So let me move on. 40%. Okay. Now, I have done my research on this company. Their principle that they come for in their business agreement is 70%. They come directly, sir, for 70% and more. The Paradise Island situation is the more. And you mentioned cab drivers, sir. Sir, if you was to really go into that, these guys have come. Listen to the 40%. These guys have come to create a deal that they would transport that same 40% that they're talking about. They won't exit the Prince George area, you know. They're going to get on boats in their agreement that will take them straight to Paradise Island. So, if you understand in the whole scheme of things, why I enjoy that man talking about the rebranding.
Okay, but I hear you, right? I hear you, and I can understand that concern from the taxi driver's point of view, for sure, right? But why would an artist be concerned, though?
But they have a right to be concerned because they are all in the same. They're all after the same dollar.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
They're all after the same dollar. Okay? Okay. And so, again, Mr. Lang, again, why you think Disney Cruise them are fighting also for their own island and key? In other words,
I got that, right? But whose business is that? I'm in the business of tourism. If you want 3, 4, 5 people to come here and bring tourists, etc., they're fighting for the same people, but there are billions of people in the world who travel. Millions and millions.
So you are right. So now it comes back to the period of negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
That's where our leaders continue to fall. Mr. Lang, if you were to get the agreement of this port development, sir, it will hurt
okay.
you. your head.
All right, I'm not sure what's happening, but you're going in and out, and we can hardly hear you now. I'm not sure what's happening, right?
Okay, what the? Mr. Light, they intend to build a hospital on Prince George Dock. Listen to me, sir.
Who intends to build a hospital on Prince George Dock?
That development.
Who?
That same development that's happening on the Prince George Dock. And I'm almost certain
I think we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Do we have another call on the line? No? Yeah, I wasn't sure what was happening to him, but he was going in and out, and it was making, and he's making some very good points, but it just couldn't and yeah. I mean all his points are fair points to make. So RCI doesn't come here. Let's say RCI doesn't come here. How many tourists would the taxis take from the wharf to Paradise Island if RCI doesn't come here? None, zero, not a one, right? None. So if RCI comes, and then if they decide there's a way to transport their tourists to Paradise Island, and they do it without taxi drivers, what if taxi drivers lost? Nothing. Because if RCI don't come, they get nothing. They might get some because not all the tourists may go on the boat. But some tourists might decide for other reasons to go and take a taxi. See, obviously if the government can negotiate something where you involve as many of your local entities as possible, that makes sense and that's good, right? But I'm sorry, I'm not sure I'm on board with that business where you force people to do things a certain kind of way just so you could give a piece of something to somebody. I don't know if that's good business sense. Because most of us wouldn't want nobody to do that to us where we go. Now, if they get us to it and it works out for us, fine. But I don't know if I buy it or not. Right? I see in all these hotels, they got Rolls Royce and fancy cars and what have you. They don't transport all of their tourists, but certainly all their high-end, a number of their high-end people, they take them Rolls Royce and get them to the airport and pick their people up. Well, taxi cabs don't complain about that. Oh, it ain't enough of that, eh? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Gulang, your host. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Gulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call in these remaining moments of the show, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I was saying before we got those calls that, you know, this economy has generated enormous benefits for us and the people who invest in. But things are changing. Things are changing the world over. Competition is getting more fierce. Logistics are getting tighter. And shareholders are getting more demanding. While monies still abound, the people who are lending them are a bit more jittery, and things are getting tighter. And so you see companies now, whether they are big or small, they are in survival mode, and they are fiercely trying to keep or expand their interest. And all of that fighting, all of that tug of war, all of that has implications for all of us. All of us, especially those of us who are not involved with commerce, who are only dependent on commerce to provide what we buy or to provide the jobs to give us the income with which we buy the things we buy. I wouldn't say to us, all of us need to get wiser and sharper. That's not going to happen. Most people are just going to be about the business and trying to make it in life. But there are lots of you, I've listened to you, I've read your texts, and I've spoken to you off air. A lot of you are keener. You are more motivated. You are more observant, and you are more engaged. So it's you I talk to. It's you I talk to. You have to seek to be more than a pawn. You have to seek to be more than a passive victim of the trifles of others. You have to seek to be more than simply a person who takes whatever is given. And there's only like the way to do that is, one, you have to increase your understanding. Increase your understanding of how things work, how your economy now works, how the flows go. Money goes from where to where and why. You have to understand, because what you see at play is people who have spent the time studying to understand how things work here, how things work there, and how they can take advantage of how things work here and there. What separates those who do from those who don't is understanding. There's no question in my mind, if all of us now listening knew how to make $1 million in the next year, we would make $1 million in the next year if we knew how. So if you assume there is a way to make $1 million in the next year, the only question is, how do you find out how? That's the only question. And once you find out how, whether you're prepared to do the necessary to pursue it. But it's a question of understanding. There has to be understanding first. Then once you have that understanding, you have to be prepared to do the work, take the risk, get involved. But right now, what we are seeing is we are seeing people observing the shifting sands of their lives, the shifting sands of their corporations, the shifting sands of their circumstances, understanding what those shifts mean for their fortunes, and making moves to try and capitalize on those shifts or to mitigate the negative impact of those shifts. What are we doing? What are we doing? Waiting for the next big thing the government announces? Hoping, praying that therein lies my fortune, that therein lies my better. Okay. Say, Sai, yes, Mr. Lang, customers are also becoming more demanding too, whether it's for better pricing for their spend, etc. It's difficult to balance all these things that are competing against each other and remain viable. That is the entrepreneur's paradox. That's the entrepreneur's challenge, is to be able to meet the customer's demand in a way that doesn't leave them at a loss. That's the entrepreneur's challenge. And a part of meeting that challenge is continuously being observant. Listen to me, your most important asset in your business is your attention. It's your most important asset. Being able to pay attention to both sides of your ledger, all the expense items and the things driving them, all the revenue items and all the things driving them, in particular, the customers that you serve. That's really the entrepreneur's challenge, but it's attention, paying sufficient attention. And that is difficult sometimes when you're busy here and there. So that's why you have to be able to take some time away from the fray to be able to think, to apply your mind to the things you observe. Why did they buy that? Why did so many of them buy that? Why did they not buy that? Why did none of them buy that? What are they thinking? How can I find out and let that thinking create some opportunity to take from your attention and observation wisdom to be applied to your situation so that you can make it better? But don't be a pawn. Don't be a victim. Observe. Pay attention, ask questions, ask more questions, ask another question. Try and figure out what's going on, what's happening, what are you doing? If you observe something in if you observe something in life, people who don't want to empower you don't want you to ask them too many questions. Listen to me. People who don't want you in the light, people who don't want you in the know, people who don't want you in the wisdom, don't want you to ask them too much questions. They don't want too many questions from you. But people who are interested in your empowerment, people who are interested in your enlightenment, people who are interested in your wisdom, they want you to ask as many questions as possible. And they are prepared and eager and willing to answer your questions. People who hide information from you, the people who hide the truth from you, people who hide facts from you are not interested in your empowerment. They're interested in your enslavement. So be a questioner, and by asking questions and seeing how people respond to your questioning, you'll understand right away what's going on in the world with them. Especially in public life, right? In public life, if you don't public business, what is there that you can't answer that I ask you? If you're in public life, there are very few things if you are doing in public life on behalf of people, when the people ask you, you shouldn't be able to answer them. Very few things. And most of those few things can only be security, national security matters. How much did you settle with them for? I can't tell you that. I don't answer that. What do you mean? That's a public business. It's public business. They might like the answer, but that's the answer. You made a judgment. That's the one. I'm not going to give you an answer. No. When people are interested in your empowerment, in your enlightenment, and in your wisdom, they will answer your questions. And so this is where, see, don't let people fool you about, oh, you need more money. You need more of this. That's not what you need up front first. What you need is more attention, to pay more attention, to be more observant, to get more understanding, get more information, be aware, and be dogged in your search for answers, in your quest to understand. Don't let people just shoot a story. I was thinking the other day, I was listening to some quotes, right? And these are quotes by some famous people. And I was thinking, as I was listening to it, I was thinking, oh, that's so nice. And then I think I would adopt that. And then I said, no, look at this quote a little bit more closely. And I said, no, that's stupidness. I mean, it sounds good, but that didn't make no sense. And that's what happens when you pay attention. Right? You don't become a pawn. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. God spares life. Guess what? Tomorrow we'll be back, far back Friday. But we'll see you then. Y'all have a great evening.
Whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not alone. heard with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
So starting today, I'm breaking down.